I can live without him. Amen. I bring you greetings on behalf of Chosen 300 Ministries here and around the world in Guyana, Jamaica, India, Nigeria, South Africa, Liberia, Uganda, and the United States. Amen. It is good to be back at Prayer, Praise, and Worship Center Church. It's good to be here. I want to thank God for your pastors, Pastor and Pastor Douglas. I want to thank God for them. I understand you had a birthday this week. Is that right? Happy birthday. See, I was listening to your sermon on Tuesday, see? And did you get all your jewels? It's a joke. It's an inside joke. How many people there Tuesday? Anybody was there on Tuesday? Y'all know what I'm talking about. He'll get them for you later on this afternoon. You have some jewels, all right? He'll print them out for you, all right? You had to be a Bible study. Just read the with the 20th chapter of Revelation. With 21st chapter of Revelation, you'll get the joke, all right? 21st chapter of the book of Revelation. All right. It's so good to be here. Besides your birthday, there's somebody that's more important to me that has their birthday. And it's two little boys, David and Jonathan. They hit the Big Ten today. David and Jonathan, why don't you stand up? David and Jonathan, stand up, y'all. Stand up. Stand up. All right. Now you know who the more aggressive one is, all right? Amen. I'll be seated. I want to thank God for them. And, you know, it's been an amazing journey just watching them grow. And you have had that opportunity to watch them grow, because I think I've been coming here to preach now probably about for eight or so years. So I think when we first brought them here, they were in like little car seats. And now they have really grown up. And I was looking in the bed the other night when David was sitting next to me. And I remember when he was just a little baby. And he fell asleep in my arms, and I fell asleep, and he hit the floor. And then my wife did the same thing to Jonathan the next night, so they kind of worked out even. So, but it is good to see them grow, and we're excited. Now, just to share real quickly, I do know that 1 o'clock is a very important time in the life of the black man and white man. And whatever kind of man you are, but I mean, it's 1 o'clock. It's a very important time. And the ladies too. They got the new NFL ladies women's gear, and I know that. I do understand. So, you know, I got a plan here. See, my mom is in the hospital over in Lands, the Delaware County Memorial Hospital, but they got a TV in the room. And that's closer than home, so I'm going to go pray for her. Spend a little time, get some chips and some iced tea and all the things that we need to visit her. All right. I want to thank you all for your support of Chosen 300. Really, you guys have been a blessing. For those who do not know, the Prayer and Praise Worship Center, y'all come down every other fourth Friday of the month to provide meals for the homeless in Center City, Philadelphia. We're now doing about 100,000 meals a year. We have sites now in Center City, West Philadelphia, and Pottstown. We're in construction right now over in West Philadelphia on Haverford and Lancaster Avenue, and that building should be open by July, and we're excited about it being open, and we thank God for the victory. Apparently, the mayor told me he didn't have any money, but he has enough money to go to Israel and London next week. I'm sorry, that was a sidebar. I apologize, but we're going to pray for our city government and our national governments. And ask that God does something in regards to helping the poor and the needy. But we thank God that the church hasn't closed and we're still open for business. Amen. Not only operating here in Philadelphia, but all around the world, 300,000 pounds of food around the world every single year. Over 390 children in our orphanage that we're helping escape child prostitution, working in rice paddy fields, or being killed and sold for their body parts. We're pulling those kids off the streets and providing a place of refuge for them. One of the reasons why I'm here, your pastor mentioned I'm here for two reasons. One, how many people have United Way at your job? Raise your hand. You have United Way at your job? Great. I know a wonderful organization that you can designate to. It's called Chosen 300. All right, and I think the ushers have some brochures with the numbers on them. They'll give those to you either now or on the way out, either one. But make sure you get that number, okay? 6484 is the magic one. But maybe you're in a part of a different region. Make sure you indicate the name and address of the ministry, okay? All right, I want to get to the text. All right, we got, let's see here, 32 minutes till kickoff. All right, Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. All right, Mark chapter 8, verse 25. And the Bible says that after that he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. I want to read that one more time. And he put his hands upon his eyes and made him look, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. Let us pray. God, we love you and we thank you, God, for this opportunity to share your word. God, I have studied, God, and I need your strength. I need your power, God, and I need your will, God. We pray, God, that you would forgive me of my sins. Now consecrate me now for thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. May my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. In Jesus' name we pray. Let us all say amen. Just turn to your neighbor this morning and say, neighbor, can you see me now? Come on, get the other neighbor. Make sure they understand the message. Say, neighbor, can you see me now? Can you see me now? You know, back in 2001, Verizon launched a series of commercials, and it was really based on "Can you hear me now?" And there was a man known as the test guy. The test guy, you know, the guy with the little black glasses, real nerdy black hair. He would go everywhere throughout the country, and he would get on his phone and say, "Can you hear me now?" He would walk 3 feet. Can you hear me now? He would take another step over here and say, up on the mountain, say, can you hear me now? And the idea that Verizon wanted to ensure that any place you were, that communication would not be interrupted and you could hear the message clearly and it would not be distorted. A lot of times, one of the things that I can't stand when I'm going somewhere and the call drops, that is the most annoying thing, because I'm trying to get a message across and then the call drops and then I got to redial, then it goes in the voicemail, and you did not finish the communication and the person did not get the full message or understanding of what you were trying to communicate. Can somebody say amen? Well, Jesus in this text here is doing his own little test about his communication, but it is not based upon hearing, but it's based upon visual understanding and the perception of who he really was. You know, throughout the scriptures, Jesus is constantly revealing himself to us, letting him know gradually who he was. He could not reveal himself fully who he was right away, but he gradually had to reveal himself to us. We know in the fourth chapter, Luke, the Bible says that he went into the temple, and the Bible says he opened up the book of Isaiah, and he said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good tidings to the poor, to set at liberty to them that are bound, and to preach the acceptable day of the Lord. And he says, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And then he began to go about his ministry and do miracles in the sight of men and God. And the Bible says that as we progress through the book of Mark, when we get to the sixth chapter, that there was a particular miracle that occurred. The Bible says that he began to preach all day long. All day long he was preaching. And the Bible says that they were in a desert place and the day was far spent. The Bible says that the disciples came to Jesus and said, listen, Jesus, the day is far spent. Send these folks away. Send these folks away so that they can go into the villages and buy for themselves. If we can just put a pinpoint here, you know, the church has to be about the business of helping people right here and not sending them to government. Listen, I know the government closed down, but I wasn't dependent on them no how. I want to let you know is that the church, is the first place people ought to be able to come to and not be sent away, but be engaged in the life of the kingdom, but also help them in their time of need. You know, when I was growing up at Zion Baptist Church of Ardmore, Dr. James Pollard, and one of the things that I always admired about him is that he always said is that, listen, you can't sit there and pray for a person and send them away because they just as hungry when the prayer started. You got to make sure that you feed people, that you clothe people, that you impact people's lives and see them right where they are right now and stop sending them somebody else. And the Bible says that the disciple says, send them the noise. But Jesus says, wait a second, don't send them away. You feed them. Somebody say you. Somebody get your finger real quick. Get it up in the air and point it at your neighbor and say, that means you. That means you was identified with the personal pronoun you, because it has to do with you. A lot of times we think you is a collective bargaining tool that, well, if my church is doing it, then it's okay. If my government is doing it, it's okay. If my family is doing it, it's okay. No, it has to do with you as an individual. That's why Jesus said in the 25th chapter of Matthew, he said that when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, he shall separate the sheep from the goats. He shall say to the goats on my left, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, because I was hungry." And let them know, no, God doesn't love your sin, but God does love you. And just like he died for me, he died for you. You got to stop sending folk away. But the Bible says that he says, "Lord, do you expect us to serve these people? We don't have food for 5,000 men, women, and children." Well, Jesus replied, says, "Listen, well, what do you have? What do you have?" And if you go to the 6th chapter of the book of Mark, the Bible says that he says, "Listen, all we have, Jesus, all we have is 2 fishes and 5 loaves. 2 fishes and 5 loaves. And the Bible says that they brought them to Jesus, and he lifted them up and blessed them, and he gave them out. And when they gave them out, and after everyone was fed, they collected 12 baskets. Somebody say 12 baskets. Hang tight on that real quickly. If you flip over to the 8th chapter, you'll find that it was the second miracle that occurred. There were 4,000 men plus women and children. And the Bible says it happened again. They asked Jesus, "Jesus, you want us to feed these folks too? How do you expect us?" And Jesus says, "What do you have? How many loaves do you have?" And the Bible says they responded, "We have 7 loaves and some fishes." Doesn't say how many fish it was, but we know they just had 7 loaves. And the Bible says that Jesus took it and blessed it, and they released it out, and they collected 7 baskets. Somebody say 7 baskets. Can we park it here for a second? A lot of times we think that when we are releasing out, there isn't a blessing for us. You have to understand, the people just got lunch, but the disciples got a basket. See, as you release out and stop being concerned always about yourself, you know those 3 people you like, me, myself, and I, and you begin to release out, there's a basket on the side for you. Can you help somebody? You have to learn to give and release out. When you read the Bible tells us in Luke the 6th chapter, round about the 32nd verse, it says, "Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will men give unto your bosom." It's about releasing out, and then God will allow something to come to you. You've got to learn to bless somebody else. Let me park it here for a second. You know, I was at a concert the other night, and I really didn't want to go. I really didn't want to go, I'll be honest with you. Some of those things I don't want to go to, because they wind up being gospel shows, and there's no focus on ministry. And you have to realize that we have to be about ministry. And they stood up there, and folks were saying, "This is my ministry." It ain't your ministry. When did you get a cross and some nails and some feet and some spear in your side? And when did you go down in a tomb and you don't have a ministry? This is the Lord's work. And God has commissioned us not to receive, but to release out. God wants to bless you, but you have to realize your first priority is to release out and bless somebody else. Well, the story continues. You know, they collected 7 baskets. And the Bible says that they were about to go to the other side, and the disciples discovered they had a problem. They only had 1 loaf of bread. And so Jesus perceived that they murmured among themselves, and they began to complain. He says, "What's the problem?" He says, "We don't have any bread." Now, I'm confused. They just said they had 1 loaf. But then they said, "We don't have any." And see, can we park it here for a second? A lot of times, God has provided something for us,
by always looking at what we don't have instead of what we do have. We look at the cup as half empty instead of half full. They had something. And I want to let you know that if you have something, God can work with you. But I'm convinced that God can even take nothing out of something. The Bible says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was out void and form. And darkness covered the face of the deep. And the Bible says He separated the land from the sea and caused the land to be earth and the sea, the waters to be the seas. He separated light from darkness, called the darkness night and the light day. He can take nothing, something out of nothing. But disciples had a loaf of bread. And they began to murmur, how are we going to make it? Jesus asked them a very peculiar question. And this is in the Bryan Standard Version. What don't you understand? I mean, it's in the text. It's in the 8th chapter. Look at the 8th chapter. He asked them, what don't you understand? Can't you see what I have already? Did you see what I did? I mean, Jesus says, why don't you get it? Can't you see that I got this? He says to them, listen, there were 5,000 people out there, men, 5,000 men plus women and children, and you had 2 fishes and 5 loaves, and I fed them. There were 4,000 people. You had 7 loaves and some fishes, and I fed them. And then we took back 12 baskets the first time and 7 baskets. You have a loaf of bread, and it's the 12 of y'all and me. We're about to get into a boat surrounded by water with fish in it. That's why you don't invite me to come preach. I break stuff. But there's 5,000 people, 4,000 people. You have this little bit of stuff, and you collected 12 baskets and 7 baskets, and now you're murmuring and questioning, how am I going to do this? You know, the disciples had an advantage over everybody else. They walked with Jesus. They saw Him do stuff. They saw Him raise folk from the dead. They saw Him heal folks. And they could not see the full potential and the ability and who Jesus was. Well, the text transforms. We get to Bethsaida, and there's this blind dude. I mean, he's been blind from his mother's womb. He's been blind from his mother's womb. And the Bible says that Jesus begins to perform a miracle. But something peculiar happens when you look at the text in the 8th chapter of the book of Mark. When you look at the 23rd verse, it says, and he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. Now, it's not a lot of time today. There were some issues with Bethsaida, but what I really want to focus on here is that this particular miracle wasn't for everybody else. This miracle was for the disciples. You have to understand there are some things that are going on in your life, some challenges and faith that you're facing, that God wants to do a miracle for you, but it's not always just for you. Sometimes He's trying to get a miracle through you. He's trying to get a testimony through you, because the only way that you can have a testimony is that you have a test. The only way that you have a message that if you have some mess, you have to realize that God wants to use you for His glory. Well, where do we get this? When you read this same story in the book of John, the 9th chapter, the 2nd and 3rd verse, the disciples come to Jesus and says, Jesus, who sinned that this man is born blind, him or his parents? And Jesus said, not neither this man or his parents, but that so the Son of Man, that the works of the Son of Man can be made manifest in him. Sometimes the things that you are going through right now is not so that you can have a problem is not so that you can have difficulty, but so that the works of God can be made manifest in your life. That's why James says, count it all joy when you come into diverse temptations, knowing that the trial of your faith worketh patience, and let patience have her perfect work in you, that you might be perfect and complete, wanting nothing. He wants to manifest something in your life. And the Bible says that they let him out of town. And when he had... Might want to change this cover. When he had spit on his eyes. When he had spit on his eyes. I mean, Jesus, couldn't you use something better? When he had spit, I began to scratch my head. Lord, why in the world were you spitting on this man? We know what the symbol of spit is, that if you really are disgusted with somebody, you know, you just get a... That's when you're disgusted with somebody. Anybody ever had to get disgusted with somebody? Have you ever disgusted yourself to spit in their face? I hope you can fight. But it's a sign of disgust. And there's two things that Jesus was disgusted with. He was disgusted with his blindness, but he also was disgusted with the disciples' unbelief. They could not see who Jesus was. And the Bible says that he spit on his eyes and he healed them. And the Bible says that when the first time that Jesus performed the healing, he only was healed partially. He says, what do you see? He says, I see men as trees walking. Now, was Jesus losing out on his power or something? Was he on a down day? Because this is the only place I know of that Jesus does a two-part miracle. He only heals them partially the first time, and then he lays hands on them again, and then he sees clearly. Let's unpack this real quick. When he heals them for a first time and he sees men as trees walking, he is seeing men in a partial perspective. This is how the disciples were seeing Jesus. They were only seeing him in a partial perspective. Okay, can we come down your street? A lot of times we see Jesus. Yep, he's the one that died for our sins. We're going to die. We're going to go to heaven. We got it. We only see him from a partial perspective. He can heal my cold, but he can't heal my cancer. We only see him from a partial perspective. You got to realize that God is able to do just what he said he would do. He's going to fulfill every promise to you. Don't give up on God because he hasn't given up on you. Just turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, he's able. He's able. And they only saw him from a partial perspective. And then he healed them again. And the Bible says he saw clearly. He saw clearly. Now listen what happens in the text next. Then Jesus asked the disciples, whom do men say that I am? And if we can put it in the context of the message today, he is asking disciples, how do men see me? And he says, some say, maybe John the Baptist. Others say, Elias or one of the other prophets. And then Jesus turns to his disciples again, and he said unto them, but who do you say that I am? How do you see me? Peter gets up. I see it now. You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And then Jesus responds unto him and says, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I am no longer going to call you Simon, which means wavering, but I'm now going to call you Petros. Call you Rock.
I mean, that's just pretty cool. Can you imagine being called Simon wavering, and then Jesus comes out and says, you're no longer Simon wavering, you're Rock. Let's look at the historical context of this. They were along the coast of Caesarea Philippi. And along the coast of Caesarea Philippi, there is a wall that is 100 feet tall, 500 feet wide. And then upon this rock that is there, there is the city of Caesarea Philippi. King Philip actually expanded the city for the purpose of giving honor to Caesar, whom they identified as a god. But not only that, along the wall, there were places and images of the paganistic god Pan and some other gods as well. And there were inscriptions for those who had given abundantly in honor of these false gods. Jesus is walking with his disciples along the coast of Caesarea Philippi. And he says, whom do you say that I am? Peter says, you are the Christ, the son of not dead gods, not gods made of rock, but you are the Christ, the son of the living God. And then you have this 100 foot high wall, 500 feet wide, and upon it is a city, Caesarea Philippi, which is upon a rock. And Jesus says, no, upon this rock. King Philip expanded this city upon that rock, but upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Can you see me now? Well, it doesn't stop there. When you get over to the 9th chapter, I got 8 minutes. When you get over to the 9th chapter, the Bible says that they went up to a high mountain, and he brought them, Peter, James, and John, to the mountain of transfiguration. And there was Moses, Jesus, and Elijah, and they were there, transfigured before them. Peter got up again. And the Bible says, he didn't know what to say. Can I give you some advice? When you don't know what to say, don't say anything at all. But Peter says, Jesus, it's good that we're here. Let us build 3 booths for you. And there was a cloud that came down from heaven and said, this is my beloved son, hear him. You know, I'm so excited about this year, and I am excited because in African American history, this is the year. We celebrated 150 years of the Emancipation Proclamation. I had the opportunity to go down to Washington, D.C., stand before the Lincoln Memorial, and see Abraham Lincoln in all of his glory. I mean, it was awesome. I mean, the statue is so huge, and there's lights beaming down on it, and Abraham Lincoln sitting like this. This year we celebrated the 50th anniversary of the I Have a Dream speech, and had a chance to go to Washington, D.C., and went to the march. And I was so excited. We stayed over in Alexandria, Virginia, took the metro over. And as we were going up the escalator, you had all these people, and now you could hear the songs. Don't let nobody turn me around. So, I mean, you could hear it in the head. We shall. I mean, it was so excited about this moment. And we got down to the Lincoln Memorial, heard all the speeches. Then me, David, and Jonathan and Shanday went over to the monument that they made for Martin Luther King, and he is hewed out of a rock, and there's 2 rocks over there, and he's hewed out, and his arms is folded like this. So I got myself a picture. I looked up at Martin, made sure my arms were just right, and I was so amazed. But you know what I heard the Lord say? They ain't that important.
When we often look at Christ on the same level as our historical leaders and those who paved the way. And yes, they have some significance, but compared to Christ, He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Start looking at Christ from the fullness of who He is, from the real perspective. Don't look at Him from a partial perspective. Realize that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He died for your sins. The Bible says in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. In Romans, the 10th chapter, the 9th verse, it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, He is our Christ. He is our Savior. Stop looking at Him haphazardly. Stop looking at Him from a partial perspective. Realize that He is your God. He's the Son of the living God, second person of the Godhead, created the heavens and the earth by the works of His hands. He is God. He is Jesus Christ. Put your hands together and praise God. Let's stand on our feet.